Psalm 130, a song of degrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But yet with thee is there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. What we find expressed in this psalm is something that we are all very familiar with. It's the consciousness of there being a great distance between us and God. Out of the depths. Then later on, a picture is of the watchman looking for the dawning of the sun, for the brightening of the morning. It's a picture here of one who feels a great distance, who is deep and dark and struggling. I suppose we could ask the question, why is it that you are so often out of your depth? Because that's what happens, isn't it? Throughout life. Again and again, we can take up the cry of the psalm and say, Lord, out of the depths I'm crying. Why is it that you're so often out in the depths? Why are you so often out of your depth? It's because you're small. You're small and I am small. Each one of us. None of us are mighty. And that simple truth we so often forget. And so often we're surprised to be out of our depth and in the depths. So what we find here is the consciousness of there being a great distance between us and God. And yet, you all understand, I'm sure you all understand, that there is nowhere that God is not. It's not that you are able to be far from God. For God is everywhere. That's so wonderfully expressed for us, isn't it, in Psalm 139. If you go up to the heights, if you go down to the depths, God is there. But what the psalmist here is expressing is the sense of being at a great distance from God. Or out of his comfortable presence. It's being overwhelmed and perplexed. Yes, we know where God is. God is here. And yet the anguish of our heart is that although God is here, we do not perceive him nor feel him. We do not feel the joy of his presence. But rather, we're conscious of this great distance. And I imagine you would admit that there are many times when you know why that is. It's because of something you've done. And yet, there will be other occasions, and that is your experience that God, that you feel far from God, and yet it's not immediately obvious why that is. You can't trace it to something you've done. Perhaps even you've been striving for faithfulness. And it's almost regardless of your faithfulness, it seems, that you have this feeling of anguish. When it's something you've done, then it's comparatively easy to understand what's going on, isn't it? When you've fallen in sin, when you've dishonoured God, when you've grieved His Spirit, you've pulled yourself back, you've hidden yourself away, you've put yourself in a corner. Oh, it's no wonder that it feels that you're in depths and you wonder, well, you don't wonder why. It's no wonder that you don't have that comfort of His presence. But even on those occasions when that felt distance is not immediately caused by obvious sin, isn't it true that even on those occasions, sin still looms large? It might not have been a particular sin that has caused this, but that distance, that spiritual agony that you experience, it affirms the reality that you are fallen, incomplete, that you do not walk as you ought to walk. In that sense of sin, it emphasises the distance. It seems an impossible distance, doesn't it? That sense of sin, of shame. It brings a spiritual agony. The agony of being defeated, of being destroyed even by our own sin, of self-destruct. You never had that moment when you just feel sick of yourself. And even though there are times when you may struggle with temptation, and in temptation you are allured by, you're attracted to, you're drawn to something, you in that moment of folly, you strive for something which looks good. There's no satisfaction in that, is there? There's no delight in that. What we find in a psalm is a common experience. It's a common experience in the sense that it's common to each of us, not you by yourself. Although you feel that it is just you, don't you? But it's a common experience in that it happens to each one of us often. And yet, although it's a common experience, there's always unique circumstances. Your circumstances are different from my circumstances. There's none of us the same. Even in your home, person you're closest to, different circumstances, different experiences. And sometimes these differences, they lead to a greater sense of loneliness, of isolation, because you are tempted to say, it's just me. It's just me. But here we have these words placed in God's word, ready for you to use, because it is not just you. And the Lord understands. He understands us, even in the agony of our suffering, our agony of our concerns. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Is that what you do? That's what the psalmist did. The psalmist is conscious of the distance, but even out of the depths, even out of the darkness, even far away, the psalmist cries out to God. I know you're tempted to withdraw sometimes. You feel it's just you, and so really you ought to just quietly withdraw. Not discourage anyone else, not make a scene about it. Just withdraw and go away. But though you might be tempted to do that, what is it that you find Isn't it true that you find yourself taking up the words of this psalm and crying out of the depths unto God? For that agony must be expressed. More than that, you cannot be without him. The psalmist speaks of his consciousness of a great distance, but there's also here a consciousness of the great declaration of God. If thou, O Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. What's the great declaration of God? The great declaration of God is the gospel, is the good news that there is forgiveness to be had upon repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. And that is what motivates this cry to God. There is a consciousness of what he has said. Oh, you may be in the depths. You may be far down, and it may be deep, and it may be dark, but the grace of God is greater. Sin is not insurmountable because he is able. These wonderful words in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And that's encouraging, isn't it? Because the heart is a strange thing. Doesn't it fluctuate? Sometimes it's indulgent and flattering, and the next moment it's fierce and it's condemning, and it is without mercy. But friends, God is greater than your heart. And he has declared this, he has revealed this. And therefore, there is a basis of hope. So easy, isn't it, for your emotions just to, as it were, escalate out of all proportion, just to gain momentum. A cascade like a waterfall. It's not troubles alone that will bring you to your senses, but it's a gracious ministry of the Spirit bringing the word so that in the midst of that experience of being overwhelmed, there is a consciousness of the truth. There is a taking hold of that word which has been brought and a rejoicing in it. Rejoicing in the reality that though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. There's a consciousness of the great distance. There's a consciousness of the great declaration of God. And there's a consciousness of our great dependence upon God. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Don't know if you've ever worked night shift. I have. And I used to work night shift in a hostel in Leith. And it was a long shift. We'd do a 12-hour shift. And it was often busy in the evening as people were coming and going from the building and as people were settling down. And then after midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, it would become quiet. Ordinarily it was quiet. Sometimes there was matters to deal with, but ordinarily it was quiet. It was meant to be quiet. And that's when the shift became hard. because it was dark, it was quiet, and it was long. And the building, the front of it faced west, and the back of it facing east was built into a kind of a industrial courtyard that was used in a car park, surrounded by high walls of other buildings. But from the top floor, it was possible to see over the high wall behind. But there was only one window available to me, because all the other windows were bedrooms. There was one window, and it was at the back of the stairwell. And I could stand at the top of the stairwell, and I could look out that window, and I could see over the dock area of Leith, the sky lightening. I could get the first glimmer of the morning. Everything else is quiet and dark, and just the first glimmer of light. And you saw that in the sky. And what a lift that would give me. Because that told me that the morning was coming, the shift was almost done, I was going to go home, and it was possible then to put up with everything else that had to be done and to get on and to apply myself. It's a wonderful thing to see the morning coming, to be waiting for the morning. You could almost be willing the sun to rise sometimes. The psalmist says, I wait for God with greater earnestness than these watchmen who watch for the morning. It's not easy at night, is it? Your imagination can play havoc at night in the darkness. Oh, for the morning, when things will be clear and bright. The psalmist says, how much more my dependence upon God, waiting for God. That's what we have expressed here, this determination to wait upon God. For in Him alone is our strength to be found. It's interesting, isn't it? Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. This is not quiet, silent prayer. This is spoken. And it's spoken because words strengthen thoughts. You ever realized that? You can pray silently. You can pray in your heart. But words strengthen thoughts. And there have been occasions when you've spoken to yourself, something significant has happened, and really to affirm and to strengthen and to clarify what you're thinking, you say it aloud. The psalmist here is crying out with words, conscious of the distance, but yet conscious also of the mercy of God, and so cries out with an utter dependence and an expectation that the Lord will hear and the Lord will deliver. Isn't it wonderful that we have expressed here then in the psalm is the reality of love for the Lord. The reality of love for the Lord. Because this desire for Him is an outworking of that. Isn't that wonderful? That this love and desire for the Lord is an evidence of His great love and His desire for you. You might not think of it that way. But that's what it is. If you have this longing and love for the Lord, it is an evidence of that great miracle of grace and the reality of His love. Peter writes about the love of the believer. He says, whom having not seen the Lord, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And isn't it strange that maybe at the time when you're most aware of the distance, you may in another sense be actually closer to God than when things are apparently going well? Because at the time when you're most aware of the distance, you're brought by the gracious ministry of the Spirit to cry out to him and to wait with longing upon him, to consecrate yourself afresh to him. Martin Luther said in regard to this psalm, he said to those who were with him, he said, let us sing this psalm in derision of the devil. Isn't it wonderful? And he's right. Because this psalm is a psalm for the whole church. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So let us sing this psalm in derision of the devil. Let us sing this psalm and triumph in the triumph of the cross. Oh, we're cast down. Sometimes we feel far away. And yet let us take up these words and let us sing them and rejoice in the reality of them. Let us sing them in such a way as we encourage one another. Not just to encourage ourselves, but to encourage one another. Amen.